All right, Owen Poindexter joins us. Owen, of course, writes for The Athletic and is really on top of some of the ratios and things that go on in baseball and the new rules. And we always love having Owen on. Owen, it's always interesting to have you on. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Marty. Great to be back.
Yeah, very good.
Baseball's back.
Yeah, tell me what's up with you. I know you write for The Athletic occasionally. What's going on in your life?
Yeah, I write for The Athletic, and my most steady gig these days is at Forbes.com, so check me out over there. Write about the Giants and A's, and I actually have free reign to write about anything I want about baseball, so I will stray away from my lane there. Okay. But yeah, doing good. Just super excited to be watching real baseball again.
Very good. Forbes.com. Barry Bloom, our good friend, writes for them as well. So I'll tell you something. They do a good job on baseball writing. They've got a lot of people who really do a good job there.
Yeah, I was surprised at the cast of characters I'm joining there. Yeah, there's a lot of good folks from Fangraphs, Baseball Prospectus, and all over the place. A lot of people with some pretty solid credentials there. So yeah, go check out their Sports Money section. It's a lot of fun.
All right. The lineup for today is out. Henry Schulman has tweeted it. It is Duggar leading off today against the lefty. Solarte at short. Longoria at third. No Crawford today. So Duggar, Solarte, Longoria. Posey fourth. Belt fifth. Connor Joe. Para. Panic. And Derek Rodriguez. So Crawford, Kratz, and Reed on the bench with Sandoval. And Derek Rodriguez is the pitcher today. Oh, and you and I chatted the other day, and there's some ratios that made sense to me. And I know we read these articles all the time, Eno, and you do them. But this strikeout to walk ratio for hitters and pitchers seems like the Giants really lacked on both ends of that. And as we watch, as the season unfolds, those are two that I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the fastest ways to know how a pitcher or a hitter is doing, especially a pitcher early in the season. You know, a team wins like 10-0, and you're like, all right, they're going to win the World Series when, you know, it's a long season. We still have 160 games to go here. But strikeout and walk ratios, those stabilize a lot quicker, so those are ones to watch out for. Velocity, of course, is, you know, if a pitcher is down 3 miles an hour, it's like, uh-oh, like we might be needing surgery, but beyond velocity, yeah, strikeout and walk ratios, and those are ones I think you'll see Farhan Zaidi targeting. And you look at Connor Joe and Eric Kratz and the third one. Michael Reed, yeah. They both put up, all three of them put up really good numbers in AAA last year, and they're all really cheap, and they all have, you know, pretty solid strikeout and walk ratios. So I think Zaidi is thinking, like, look, I don't have a ton to work with right now, but let's try these guys. Maybe those ratios will augur some future success in the big leagues. And if it doesn't work out, you know, they didn't give up a whole lot for them. All they have to pay right now basically is playing time. Those guys didn't have playing time where they came from. So, you know, the Giants have some spots to work with. They have an outfielder spot or two that they can rotate in and out. So let's see what these guys can do.
It's going to take some patience. They've struck out. They were up six times last night and struck out five times. But the team in general.
So far.
Yeah. Well, it's, as I said, two games in. Connor Joe comes with a reputation of a little bit of a bat. Reed, not necessarily, but you're right. This is the team he's trying to build. And with what he's got, he doesn't have a lot of power, and he's got to build guys who can get on base. So let's see where it goes. You just have to be patient with this thing and see what happens. Last night, three walks, 12 strikeouts for the Giants last night on the hitting side. So that's I'm going to follow that as we go through the season. Owen Poindexter is with us. Owen, the other thing I'm noticing, we used to have a pitcher's count, you know, 2-0, 3-1, 3-0. And boy, you could sit back and just say, here comes a fastball, and man, I'm going to crush it. Pitchers don't necessarily throw fastballs all the time anymore.
Well, yeah, it's exactly what you said. When you know a fastball is coming, a big league hitter who knows a fastball is coming, that's a very dangerous thing. And, you know, some pitchers have a fastball, you know it's coming, and you can't do anything with it. Most pitchers, that's not the case. They have to keep hitters off balance. And, yeah, you've got a 2-0 count. If you know the fastball is coming, then you're going to get smacked around a lot of the time. So we've seen this adjustment, and I think it has a little bit to do with just the changes in pitching in general, how we have more pitchers coming into every game, and they're throwing harder and harder with nastier stuff. But also, you just can't be predictable to a major league hitter. And so the paradigm has moved away from 60-70% fastballs and then keep them off balance with the other stuff to maybe more like 50% fastballs. Also, you just look at, you know, the swinging strike rates of these pitches. You know, a fastball might be around 10-12%, but a changeup or a curveball, more, you know, something like double that. And so if those are the pitches that are getting results anyway, and you can keep hitters more off balance, then yeah, why not? Like, why should we have this idea of a fastball count? And of course, the reason it became a thing in the first place is those are spots when you want to hit the strike zone. 2-0, you don't want to go 3-0. But I think pitchers these days figure, maybe I'll get the swing and miss, maybe I'll get some weak contact. And if not, you know, maybe it's then it's 3-0 and whatever, I'll just try to get the next hitter. So pitchers these days aren't giving in as much, and they are becoming less predictable with nastier stuff, and it's really hard to be a hitter right now.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. I think that's what I saw last night. And again, these are things to watch during the game for everybody. Watch the 2-0, 3-1 counts and see what the pitcher throws, and you just can't sit on a fastball anymore. The other part of the Giants, as we try to understand what Farhan Zaidi is trying to do, they don't hit the ball hard. In other words, they're, you know, there's the phrase of barreling it up. And Longoria did a couple of times, but I think Duggar hit one down the line. But you just don't see that consistent line drive power. And maybe it's because of all the off-speed stuff. Maybe because they're a little older. Pitchers are throwing harder. But do you see that as well, that they don't barrel it up as much?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be something to watch. And on the individual player level as well, I'm actually pretty excited by Longoria right now. And he was such a talented player when he was a little bit younger and his first year in the Giants didn't go all that well. I'm wondering if he's a little bit settled more in more now, and he had a great spring. He's looked good so far. So he's a guy who's been hitting the ball hard. Yeah, the rest of the team, not so much. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm very curious to see what this team looks like in 2 or 3 years. If there's a kind of player that Zaidi is targeting based on where the Giants play, because power, you know, it plays anywhere across the Bay. In Oakland, they built a team around power. So it's not like just because you have a big park in a foggy area that you have to be a contact speed team. But you do wonder if Zaidi will try to find value in guys that might not have as much power, but they're going to have more value in Oracle Park, maybe. But we'll see. But yeah, I think a lot of it's just age. This is an older team. And yeah, it's just you look at a lot of the power hitters these days, like Aaron Judge, even like Giancarlo Stanton. They're all, you know, 28 and under, a lot of them. And those are the guys where they go from, you know, 15 homers 1 year, all of a sudden they're hitting 25, 30. That doesn't happen as much with an older player. It certainly can. It does. But it's not something you bet on. So, yeah, I think as we see this generation start to phase out over the next year or two, it'll be interesting to see what kind of players Zaidi targets and if he is going for those high exit velocity guys, because it is something they lack right now.
Boy, very good analysis. I think if the fans are listening to that, I think that summed up where the club is right now and where they're going over the next couple of years. It's going to take some patience to see this transition. I firmly believe that. You said it very well. Bumgarner's game on Thursday, I thought, was excellent from the standpoint of what we just talked about. He didn't rely on the fastball, maybe topped out at 91, 92 at best, but he threw a ton of curveballs, changeups, and all sorts of stuff and got weak contact pretty much. And I thought that was one of the best games he's pitched.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Bumgarner, I think, has transitioned to being a crafty lefty from a blow-em-away-with-stuff lefty. Almost just on a dime. Yeah, he used to be vintage Bumgarner, more like 94 miles an hour, and that can just get hitters out on its own. But yeah, now fastball usage is down, and he's using that off-speed stuff more, and the results were absolutely there yesterday, or was it the day before?
Yeah, Thursday.
And yeah, so it's all blending together
yes,
so quickly.
Already.
But yeah, no, I'm excited to see what Bumgarner's got. I was a little down on him last year just because the stuff, you could see, it wasn't what we're used to seeing from Bumgarner, but he's adjusted quickly. The hitters may adjust back, but he's already adjusting to life as a pitcher who throws 91, 92, and so far, so good.
Yeah, boy, enjoy our conversation. We'll catch up with you a lot. Well, let's keep an eye on some of those ratios. You know, the easy ones to figure out, the strikeout to walk on both sides, pitchers and hitters, barreling up the ball. And the way pitchers are throwing, less fastballs and stuff like that, I think it's going to be interesting to follow that. So I appreciate you being on. Anything recent on Forbes that you'd like to plug a little bit?
Oh, you know, well, maybe not something Giants fans want to read right at this moment, but my most recent one is about the players who may not be on the team in a year's time or even in a few months with the trade deadline in July. So if you're curious about, you know, how I see how this, the team structure changing or just who's going to be gone, not so much who's going to be taking their places, that's my most recent one.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But yeah, I'm very interested to see what kind of team Zaidi's building. It's, you know, he's been tinkering around the edges. There's been a ton of moves, but we'll really know his thought process in months to a year, I think.
Okay. All right. Give me one tease here. Not Bumgarner. Give me another player who you think may be gone July 31st.
Well, honestly, if Longoria keeps hitting like this, I think they'll get someone to take on that contract because it's a big contract. And if, you know, I'm not sure what sort of time frame Zaidi is thinking about, if he wants to do a quick turnaround and really get back into the playoff race pronto, or if he's more thinking, like, let's build a sustained contender. But I think if Longoria can help another team, and he still has something like $70 million on that contract left, I think if someone would relieve the Giants of that obligation, they would take him up on that.
Very good. All right, great. Great to talk to you, Owen. We'll catch up again. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty. Thanks.
That is Owen Poindexter. Always an interesting conversation.